The Hall of Famer, Dave Van Horn, is with us. Dave, we don't get to see one of the great young pitchers in the game, and that is Jose Fernandez. You know him as a man, as a young man, the family, the loss of him to the ball club. Take us through that just a little bit.
Well, it was like a kick in the stomach to lose Jose now. He will undergo, at some point, if not in the next few days, certainly within the next week, he'll undergo Tommy John surgery, which means the Marlins will not have him until sometime late in the 2015 season, and that's a tremendous blow. He's 21 years old, but he pitches like a 31-year-old veteran. He grew up in a hurry. He grew up in Cuba. You know the whole story there. Four attempts to defect and finally got out under a hail of gunfire. He's been through a lot, and he had to grow up in a hurry. Very close to his family, to his mother, obviously, and to his grandmother especially, who played such a key role in his development. But he grew up in a hurry. Although he finished high school in the United States over in Tampa, he's a very special young man. I think mature far beyond his years in two ways. Not only his character and his makeup, but of course his obvious baseball talent. So he's very special. He's going to be missed. And I think everybody from coast to coast got caught up in Jose. And it wasn't like Fernando Mania. It wasn't like Doc Gooden when he broke in. But it was close to that. And everybody, I think, feels very bad. Not for the Marlins. I think they feel bad for Jose Fernandez that he's had to go through this at age 21.
Yeah, so those matchups with Wood of Atlanta, just incredible games. But you look at Jose Fernandez and the at-bat with Carlos Gonzalez. It takes them out there laughing back and forth with each other. That, to me, is old-time baseball in many ways. In other words, that they can interact and just appreciate the game.
He has so much fun during the games. And we always see him laughing and smiling, and we see him engaged with the opposition, engaged with his own teammates and with the manager and the coaches. He's very active in the dugout. Mike Redmond got to the point where he couldn't wait for Jose's starts to roll around, not because Jose had a chance to do something really special every night that he went out and started a game, but he said he's tough to take care of in that dugout on nights that he's not pitching, because he's very active. He's the number one cheerleader on the team, totally engaged with all 24 teammates and the staff. He's a very special young man.
Boy, what a pleasure to talk with you, just to hear your voice. I know it's very special for all our fans to hear you. Before we started today, you talked a little bit about music in the ballpark and how it sort of changed over the years. Music in the ballpark, what was it like when you broke in, and where's it going today?
Well, Marty, when I first broke in, we still heard a lot of the stadium organists that supplied the music. Once it went to recorded music, it's brought about a big change. And nowadays, I think that baseball and some of the people responsible for the in-game presentations have taken their cue from perhaps the NBA, where it's very loud and raucous. You hear a lot of rock and roll, a lot of rap, a lot of laser lights, and very loud volume of music. Baseball, to me, always has been a terrific attraction, because you could go to a ball game, sit and talk to the person you're at the game with, score the ball game. All of the noise was way, way in the background, so you heard the ball pounding into the catcher's mitt on every pitch. You heard the crack of the ball off the bat, and now it's hard to hear those baseball things because the ballparks have gotten so loud. So I know I'm probably sounding like an old guy, but I'm entitled to that because I am old, number one, and number two, I've been in the game a long time now at the major league level, and I've seen that change, and I'm not sure that it brings all that many young people into the ballparks, but the bottom line is what's happening between the white lines is what's going to draw people, and not the volume of music on a sound system.
Well, that's what Leonard Coppett always told me. People want the story every single day. Dave, this is the last year that Candlestick will even be here. I mean, we've been out of there since the year 2000. Candlestick Park, if I say it's going to be disappearing, what does it mean to you?
Well, First of all, I love AT&T. I love this ballpark. I love this city. And I love coming here. I wish it were like the old days, only because we used to come twice a year to the West Coast to play. Now the schedule is such that the East Division teams only come out here once a year, and that's a disappointment. I have some wonderful memories of Candlestick Park. I was in the ballpark, of course, when Willie got his 3,000th hit. That was against the Montreal Expos. I loved, even though it was only for a few years, I loved the opportunity to talk to Russ Hodges when we would come out here and have some time to visit. I have a lot of fond memories there. There were some bitter, windy, chilly nights out there, but we had some fun with that, too. And I still have somewhere in my collection of memorabilia the Croix de Candlestick. Yes, I was one that was awarded that honor, and I still have that. But miss it, I'll always have the memories, and that's what's important to me.
All right, what a pleasure to have you on. Dave, thanks so much. Enjoy the trip out here. And
all right, Marty, thanks for having me as a guest. Thank you.
More coming up on KMBR 680, the sports leader.